This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Inside the Comedian with me, David Reed. In this episode, I'll be interviewing Justin Edwards.
Actor, writer, aromatherapist, yes. Lifeguard, cougar, jester, maverick, Iceman, goose. Justin Edwards, welcome to Inside the Comedian.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here and to welcome you inside me, David.
Well, I've been wanting to be inside you for quite some time. And ever since I thought of this show, in fact. Mm. So thank you very much for coming on to the programme and allowing me to be inside you in front of so many people.
I just hope there's enough room, David.
Yes, well, hopefully. We'll find out.
I'm very giving.
And I'm very receiving. Now, all of us here are intimately acquainted with your incredible career.
Oh, well.
From your early sketch and character comedy shows.
Oh, yes.
Through your television appearances.
Ah, yes.
Right up to your emerging career as a tall yet sleepy man in films.
Yes, thank
What are you working on at the moment, Justin? Anything in the pipeline, as they say?
Yes, I'm starting a small fringe theatre piece.
Ah, a one-man show, is it?
Yes, I think it is. Yes, I think it's going to be. It sort of looks that way. A lot of the other people involved are
leaving.
Yes. They're in a way, they're not up to it, or they're not willing, or as it turns out, available. So I think it might be a one-man piece.
Yes. Right. Have you booked a venue for that? Is that all?
Yeah, sort of. Yes.
Right.
We're going to be trying it out in a variety of sort of intimate fringe spaces before possibly taking it to the Edinburgh Festival. Not to actually do it up there, but just...
No, of course, Just take all the props and costumes with me,
because then I won't feel, I can sit on the train and talk to everyone else and won't feel so left out. But
And that is the main purpose of doing the Edinburgh Festival.
Pretty much,
is,
yes.
Is to be seen to be on the train.
On the train there, and then, crucially, be on the train back looking tired.
Mm. Yes.
I think if you do that, that's it. That's
preferably good... with the mark of some kind of award... lodged in your cheek, like you've slept on one.
Yeah, like slept bad on a train. I mean, that's quite easy to fake.
Very easy, because these awards are invariably just sort of rectangles of perspex, aren't they? I mean, they're incredibly cheap these days.
Yes, yes, all of mine are.
Yes. Yes. I imagine mine will be.
Yeah.
Wikipedia tells me that you were born in Southampton.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Of all places, why there?
Well, I think... I was drawn to Southampton as a choice of birth because it's not a coastal city. There's a great big port there, and I've always felt a huge affinity with dockers.
Interesting.
As you can tell from my natural
swarthiness
and my rhythm and mode of speech, I'm never happier than when amongst dockers.
And that would presumably explain all the tattoos.
Yes, I'm absolutely... I mean, I won't, I'm wearing a rather... And actually, it's too hot, actually, what I'm wearing, but I'm not going to take it off now, because the sleeves that go down here...
Oh, yes.
And down here, and they stop literally there. So, well, this arm is actually tattooed as a grey fleece. And when you do... when I unravel that one, it's like a trompe l'oeil sort of thing. You can't...
Yes.
You don't know where the arm stops and the fleece starts.
Incredible.
Hours. I mean, absolute hours it took in the chair, if that's the phrase, or on the mat, on the tattooing mat, on the table.
Yes.
In the sling, or however you choose to do it. But,
yes. When did you first realise that you wanted to be tall?
I think 1974.
Right.
Reaching for biscuits. And thinking to myself, do you know what, if I had a few extra inches here, these could all be mine. Mm.
And the dream started there?
The dream started there, and by God, it's come true.
You still...
I can have any biscuit I want.
Now, if we could move on from Southampton.
Please.
Briefly. Like so many masters of the art, you took your tentative first steps into the world of comedy in a sketch group with some men.
And glorious times we had. We were in the incredible sketch group called The Chuffers.
The Chuffers. We all remember The Chuffers, don't
Who
we?
Who doesn't remember The Chuffers?
I mean, pre-YouTube, sadly. So
yeah, luckily.
None of it remains.
Sadly, and yet luckily, none of our sketches were ever filmed. They were considered...
Some were etched, weren't they?
No, the word is racist.
Oh, yes, that's right. But
yes. Oh, I seem sorry. Yes, no, some were etched, yes. No, some were... Well, some were considered edgy. We thought they were edgy. We were wrong. They were, in fact, just offensive. I don't think there was any, you know...
Yes, so. Yes. But there is something about the innocence of youth that gives you an energy, doesn't it? That you don't censor anything.
No, that's very true, yes. I look back on some of our... some of our more extraordinary sketch work and think, I wouldn't do that now.
Yes, yes.
I couldn't do that now. A lot of it, physically, I just couldn't.
Absolutely.
A lot of it, I just wouldn't.
The Bendy Minstrels.
The Bendy Minstrel sketch was... I mean, aside from the sensitive nature of the makeup, that it was the... I think you're right, it was the bendiness that really, you know...
It put a shelf life on it,
well,
really.
It did, it's what led to us splitting up, ultimately. Was,
yes, yeah. And that one time splitting open, I think.
Yes. We became a double act after that, when the third member... The third member on stage at... was it?
You were very, very briefly four.
Yes.
And then...
Very, yes, yeah, literally for sort of seconds.
And then
seconds.
The ambulance arrived.
And then we were two, and then of course, one.
Of course, one. And where you would create a comedy creation instead of playing multiple different characters. Everyone knows Terry Huggins, Man of Steel. So what was it about the character of Terry Huggins that first attracted you to... A strong man who could read minds.
Well, I've always been a huge fan of the SAS. Great, great fan of that. I wanted to join the SAS, but I too tall, wasn't allowed in.
Is that right?
You can't jump out of an aeroplane at this height. I'd have caught my head, knocked myself out, and landed unconscious, and the rest of the troop would have had to come and revive me, carry me back up to the aeroplane.
And that's mission over.
That's going to happen on every mission. I would have been a liability. Literally would have been dead weight for the whole team. So that was never going to happen. But so I thought the best thing I could then do was pretend to be a man in the SAS on stage. So I got, you know, I got the uniform and the bells and all the things they wear.
The bells, yes, they wear the bells.
They do, they wear all those bells.
Just to make it harder for themselves. They're very dangerous men, the SAS. Yes.
What's their motto?
More bells, please.
Yes, exactly. And I very much took that to heart. And I thought, yes. If I'm going to be an SAS man on stage, I'm going to be head to toe in bells. I was like a sort of steroided up Morris dancer.
And quite large bells. So it appeared like big. You were an appropriate height for the SAS.
Yes. Yeah, yes. No, they weighed me down knowing I was bent double by the weight of... One of the cast iron bells, I came on, great cast iron bell on my back, letting it clang loudly. And I now regret that because I think it was a terrible way to start a show. But Terry Huggins, that was the name, wasn't
Terry
it?
Terry Huggins, yes.
How could it escape me? I don't know.
It's funny, you know, because audiences always remember, and
they
we
do.
Can forget, can't we? We can forget.
I had a lot of fun being Terry Huggins year after year. But it was a difficult act to tour around with, the weight and the size of
the bells.
all those bells to carry around.
And you were often it was very hard to hear you over the bells, I thought.
It was, yes.
Because they would inevitably just continue to ring throughout as you...
I tried to deliver my sort of wry monologue.
Absolutely.
About life.
And if you stood still enough for the bells to stop, you were so still... It was quite sinister, I thought. And so you started to lose the crowd, so you had to move again.
Yeah.
And then the bells would go. I mean,
it's a vicious circle.
I saw your show, I think, four or five times, and I don't think once I caught a word.
Yeah. It's a shame, because there were some wonderfully nuanced observations about what it meant to be a sort of an SAS man in those times, but yeah, sadly lost to the sound of big bells.
But it wasn't all big bells, was it? I mean, you did move on eventually.
Yes, I did.
Television beckoned. And it beckoned hard.
Oh, God, I should say.
Yes, I mean, seemingly overnight you appeared in 400-500 shows. And it's Phil Whelan's O'Clock, Lee Mack's Comedy Vehicle, and Get Fucked Prime Minister, to name but a few. Is there a role which particularly stands out in that period?
I think the first show you mentioned there, Phil Whelan's O'Clock.
Yes.
Which was an astonishing... I don't know if you're aware of the work of Phil Whelan's. He's sort of...
He's been mentioned on this show before.
Oh, has he? Well, gosh, his name
is... I am not. No.
Right, no. Well, I would... I could describe him in so many ways, so many words, hardly do him justice. Semaphore would be probably the easiest way to portray his...
Flappy, but no, is he? Very flappy.
Very flappy, very, very thin, flapping man. But no, he's sort of, you know, a one-man whirlwind dramaturg, and the Phil Whelan's O'Clock show was an extraordinary, chaotic mix of Newsnight and Blue Peter... And Def Jam, if you remember that.
Yes.
And,
any comedy shows? Or?
No, not really. That was the problem. It was quite Howard's Way at one point. It was brief.
Threads, a little bit of Threads.
A little bit
was
of Threads in there.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was a terrifying melange of performance styles. But I enjoyed my work with Phil a lot.
Why do they never repeat it? It's never repeated, you know. It's one of those.
Yeah. Well,
rights issues, was it? Or
no, it was. I think the technically the BBC looked back at it over the years and they thought, it's shit. So we're not going to.
As is so often the way.
Yeah,
isn't
we won't. We won't put it out again. People, you know, you've got to look back at some of these. You know, the word cult is often applied to television shows that aren't watched by very many people and aren't very good. So it's a cult show.
It's a cult show.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's a cult show. Unlike, of course, the remake of the classic BBC sitcom Misplaced Nostalgia that you were cast in the remake of.
Yes.
As the officious Captain Horlicks. Now, how did that come about?
Well, I was always a huge fan of the original.
Yes.
I used to sneak into my parents' bedroom.
And then downstairs again.
And then I'd go downstairs again. Because I'd need something to take my mind off what I'd seen. And so I'd turn on the television and on would come... Misplaced Nostalgia. Which
yes.
Was,
and Onward Come was the name of one of the episodes.
Onward Come, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Onward Come, Come Onwards was the second one. Yeah, yeah, on We right. Come, All Come Together. Every episode had a sort of pun based around the word come in the title.
Yes, almost the same pun, actually.
Always the same. Apart from Oh Come All You Faithful, which is a Christmas special. And
Come On, Feel the Noise.
Yes, that was one where I think that all the staff of the... The shop in which the sitcom was set, which
That's
was
right.
of course
it was a milliner's.
A milliner's, yes, it was.
It was mostly hat hat-based.
It was all
stuff,
hat-based. We had a lot of great hat jokes in it. So no, but I enjoyed the original series hugely. I was a huge growing up, a huge fan of the millinery.
So how disappointing was it to be part of the remake?
Oh no, it was glorious.
Glorious, really?
Absolutely glorious. I didn't get to wear as many hats as I would have liked.
No, well, the hat budget seemed small in comparison, I thought.
They were a lot cheaper in the '70s.
Yes,
sort of, you know, easy come, easy go with hats. Whereas these days, I think because of HD, they have to be. I think hats are just a lot more expensive. Don't really see it. I can't think of a single instance where I've seen anyone wearing a hat on television in the last 5 years. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. No. I can't think of a single one.
You think of the big, you think of the soaps. Does anyone in EastEnders wear a hat?
No.
No, they used to, didn't they?
They did.
Bill used to wear a cowboy hat.
In fact, back in the early days, it was all balaclavas.
I mean, everyone, yeah.
And then a hat on top, wasn't it? I mean, they'd really go all out.
But not now.
No, not now. I mean, it's all naked from the nipples up, really, isn't it?
Not a hat to be seen.
No, nothing.
It's just about its budget, isn't it?
It is. I mean, HBO's got all the hat money, apparently. Yes. Of course, somewhere where they do have money for hats is Hollywood.
Oh.
And you are a movie star, if I may say it, these days.
You may say.
I mean, it's an inaccurate term, but
yes. I mean, it's kindly, if a bit, you know, overstate. Well, no, I have been in some movies that might have been seen in Hollywood. If
that's right.
Way,
yes,
you know?
No, definitely.
Possibly.
Definitely. I mean, you were in the superhero film, The Well Lit Punching Man. That was.
That's
good.
Right. Yes, I was.
And period film, Hugs and Kisses.
Hugs and Kisses.
The
that one.
Adaptation of that tissue Emily Bronte once spat in. That yes. was, which I thought was very brave to adapt because
it was great. Yes.
Nobody had thought to before.
I think the problem is when you've got such an oeuvre.
Yes.
As that of Emily Bronte. It's all been done to death, hasn't it? So you've really got to dig deep. What can you do?
Exactly. It's like Shakespeare, isn't it?
Yes.
You just keep having to find things he discarded because he was ashamed of them.
Yeah.
And do them in the largest venue you can find.
Drum some kind of shit out of it, yes. It was Hugs and Kisses was... it's amazing they span 90 minutes out of... Really, some phlegm.
It's true. I mean, your character,
Albert Shitsticks.
Thank you. I was stretching for the Shitsticks part.
Yes. In fairness, you never really heard the surname mentioned on screen. It was sort of, you know, it was sort of bracketed.
Yes. Now, forgive me for this, but I think you may have borne the brunt of most of the stalling in the script, where you quoted the DNA of the phlegm.
Yes.
From beginning to end.
We were encouraged to improvise.
Right.
And the director did lean into me at one stage and said, look, really, we're struggling to get more than 10 minutes out of this. Has anyone got any party pieces?
Mm. And so you, of course, have memorised the entire human genome.
I've memorised the entire human genome when I was... I think I was doing an episode of EastEnders. I had an awful lot of time to kill in the dressing room, and I thought, like, might as well make myself useful. And as with all EastEnders dressing rooms, they have a huge amount of biological information on display in the room. So after I'd learned the periodic table, and then I mastered the human gene. Anyway, that's by the by.
Yeah.
But it ended up in the film. Everyone did a turn in it. Yeah.
Yes.
Emily Watson did a Punch and Judy show.
I remember that.
Yeah,
yes,
which
yes.
It seemed... sort of was anachronistic at the time, but actually you watch the film, you don't really care, do you? Because most people don't stay
it's
to the end.
It's unwatchable, really.
But it's on the CV.
It's on the CV. And that's what matters. You've played so many enduring characters.
Oh.
Shitsticks being only one of them. Do you sometimes forget where Man in Gallery ends and Justin Edwards begins?
Oh, gosh. Well, certainly with Man in Gallery... much like dozy policemen. They sort of come to me as such fully rounded characters.
Mm.
But I have to sort of knock the corners off those round circles.
Sure.
Knock the corners off the circle, David.
Yeah, there's many corners.
And that's as hard as it sounds.
It is.
That's why acting
is, in a lot of ways,
a bloody difficult job.
A circle is all corners, isn't it?
Well, sort of. But
it doesn't have a single edge.
No, it doesn't. I haven't thought of it that way, yes. Anyway, once I've knocked all those off, I'm often sort of left back with me as myself. So
right.
I think, oh, I'll just do it like me.
And that sounds like an exhausting process.
Well, it is.
I'm discarding everyone who isn't you.
Shedding every...
To arrive back at you.
Back at myself. Shedding
every time?
Every layer of the onion. It is, you know... People don't think actors are brave, but by God we are, David. I mean, the kind
oh,
of...
Oh, I know, you know. It's my motivation for this series, really.
I think the stress... of being a full-time performer would probably kill a normal human being.
I'm surprised it hasn't yet.
Yes.
Because I can imagine a scenario where a unprepared initiate thinks they can do this for a living.
Oh, dear God.
And is just stone dead by the end of day one.
Absolutely.
Can't you? You can see it happening. As soon as a director just yells cut and goes,
oh, they just
could you
do
it slightly differently?
Yes, or...
They would just weep themselves into a powder.
Full, they just drop to the floor stone dead. The minute someone says, right, you know...
Would you like a coffee?
Yes, would you know. Or more crucially, oh, sorry, we've only got instant. Something like that. And, you know, a lot of people just won't cope.
Yes. No, it's true. It's true. And laughter on top of that as well. I'm trying to make people like this laugh.
Yes. You know. It is. Have you ever done it?
I mean, it's in my... It's on my bucket list.
Yeah. You know.
It's on my bucket list. Do you have a bucket list? Is there things you'd like to do before you buy a bucket?
Yes. Oh, I've got at least 10 things I'd like to.
I mean, it's very low down my list. That's why there's lots of things on mine. But yes, no, I'd love to. They often say that funny men like yourself, Justin, funny men are often broken on the insides. Could you describe your insides for us? What do they look like?
Gelatinous.
Yes. Yes.
Slightly rumbling at times, curdled. Do you mean sort of physically the description of Maynard's, or perhaps the more...
No, I mean physically, more, yes. No,
well, I don't know, I imagine...
What colour are they?
Like a sort of bucket of eels with some ketchup stirred in. I'm not a...
It's a powerful image.
It is. I'm no doctor, but... I mean, how would you describe your innards?
Like the walls of a slick labyrinth.
Yes, actually, that sounds better than a bucket full of eels, doesn't it? I'll give you a right.
Well, we're all different, Justin.
We are all different.
We're all different. If I could, if you would indulge me in a brief game. Inevitably, there will be a film made of your life. Oh, we all know it. We're just counting the days now.
Good God, yes.
If I could read out a character list of people who are inevitably in it, could you tell me who you would most like to see playing those characters?
Of course.
Starting with, of course, Justin Edwards.
No, I'm not allowed to play myself, am I?
No, absolutely not. You will be long dead by the time this gets funny.
Well, my first choice for these things would always be Dean Gaffney.
Of course.
Because...
Who's rejoining EastEnders, I think, because budget's gone back up.
Yeah.
So
he might not be available then.
Yes.
But no, he would be tremendous. Not only are we absolute dead ringers... But I think he's...
He's surprisingly tall, isn't he, Dean?
He's amazingly tall. And he's extraordinary versatile range.
Okay, well, what about Justin's wife? Who would play alongside Dean? Who would make a good Mrs. Dean Gaffney?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's quite something to say, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, if I'm long dead, then I reckon Jeanette Cranky will be in her grave by then. So...
But the things they can do with CGI these days,
yes,
a CGI Jeanette Cranky would be something we
that
all
would
wanted.
Be good. They could reanimate the corpse of Jeanette Cranky using helium balloons and some batteries.
Maybe some
it seems
plots.
Like an awful effort to go to, but yeah,
it does.
But yes, probably that.
But I think that's a better avenue to go down than to try and think of actors who are not yet alive.
Yes, that
seems
harder, then,
that seems it? Complicated. Yeah. Yes, and who would play a urinating woman? I've already written the screenplay. That's all. So this is very specific.
Well, in that case, we're a perfect cameo for you.
Thank you very much. It's the role I was born to play. And finally, who would play Prince Andrew?
That's difficult, isn't it? What are the primary characteristics of Prince Andrew, would you say?
Well, he's royal.
Oh, yes.
He always wears the same suit. He's apparently dating Kylie Minogue. I read today.
Really?
I think so. Is that Andrew? No, that's Edward. It's Andrew. Is it Andrew?
I'd be more surprised if it's Prince Edward. Prince Andrew's dated Kylie Minogue?
Yes, yes.
Oh, thank God we're having a general election. Sort this country out.
Justin Edwards, thank you for letting us inside you. Justin Edwards.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Comedian with me, your host, David Reed. If you'd like to donate towards our running costs, then no, it's fine. It really is fine at the moment. It'll be fine.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.